Are you ready to step into your power? If so, I want to tell you about my brand new one-to-one mentorship program, Powerhouse. Power stands for productivity, organization, wealth, energy, and relationships. The five things that I teach my clients to help them step into their fullest potential. So if you are tired of playing small, ready for change, and want to excel in these five areas, go to jenniferfordberry.com and sign up for a free application call to see if you are ready to be a powerhouse. Welcome to the Make Room Show, the podcast for women who are ready to take control of their space, time, energy, and money in order to live out their purpose. I am so glad you are here. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Make Room Show. And guess what? I have two of my good friends here again. You know who they are. Lori Beth Aldridge and Amy Debrick are here. Because, you know, when the three of us get together, we have a lot of good conversation. And the other day, we had an Instagram Live with somebody that attended our focus retreat last year. Shout out to Ginger. We love you, girl. Thank you for coming on. This is what we do. We support other women. So today, I wanted to have an episode about a topic and a couple other little tiny sidebars. But this one thing during the Instagram Live really, really stuck out to us. And it's so good that we had to come on and share. So welcome, ladies.
Aloha.
Thank you for having us today. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited because I love all of our conversations. Honestly, so many of them. This is what lights me up in life is hanging out with like-minded women and just people that are on fire for their work and for supporting other women. And our conversations are usually just really deep and also really enlightening. So I feel like today's conversation can really help other women that are listening for a number of ways. One of the things that we talked to Ginger about in our Instagram Live was this thought that we had about when you attend an event, right? Or just in everyday life, it could be people at your school where your kids go to school, other women, it could be women in your office building, but starting conversations that help us figure out who someone is before we try to figure out what they do, right? Because I feel like as a society, let's be honest, we're kind of going around judging people on what they do, right? And I don't know about you girls, you can answer this. I actually hate the question. When people meet me and they're like, so what do? I am like literally inside my body going, I can't. And I think for me, it's because it seems like boring because I've said the same conversation over and over, number one. Number two, I feel like it's a long answer. I can't just say, and a lot of entrepreneurs will feel this way, I can't just say, I'm a kindergarten teacher. Because that's not what I am. I'm many things. There's many facets to me. I wear many hats, and I know you girls do too. And it just seems like I'm going to have to start listing off my resume, right? Because it's not a one-word answer. And that's, I think, why I don't like the question. So I think I'd really rather say something else about like asking me about me, or I want to talk about today just some ideas and some questions we can lead with. So if we are trying to get to know the person, then what are the questions we ask? Because in the conversation, we're going to get into this right now. The bottom line is, how do we even know as business owners we want to do business with somebody unless we know what kind of person they are? We used to be that society, right? But now it's more important. We can see what you do on Instagram. We can see what you do on TikTok. Who are you behind the screen? I need to know that before I want to do business with you. So let's start with you, Lori Beth. What does this mean to you? Because we know you have some thoughts to share.
Oh, I'm like, I literally am taking notes right now and I'm drawing hearts and I'm drawing fire. And yeah, I have some thoughts.
She's so very physical.
I totally. So when someone asks, like, what do? I feel like they're testing to see if I'm qualified and to see if I'm worth their time. Like, are you worthy of like casual chit chat? Or are you like, should I move on to somebody else? Do you have something for me? And it is that transactional kind of question. And to me, it's almost like a qualifier. I read the person, right? Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at reading the room and using discernment. And are they just asking me what I do because they're nervous and don't know what else to say? And it's kind of like, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? Sort of auto response of our society. Or are they asking because they're trying to size me up to see if I'm qualified? And I usually can figure that out right away. You know, and I'll be honest, sometimes I've been in situations where I'm like, so what do you do? You know, or what does your husband do? When you're in homeschool circles, all of a sudden people are like, well, what does your husband do? And what they mean is like, what, how much, how do they make enough money for you to stay home and homeschool the kids? Like, that is what most of them are actually asking. Sometimes out of curiosity, sometimes out of being nosy, but also trying to figure out how other people are doing it because they want to do it too. So I try not to bring too much judgment to that question. And I can tell when a used car salesman, if you will, shows up and asks me that question. I'm like, oh man, I am qualified to talk about that. Oh, so I when I think to, back to Ginger, Ginger and I started off in the deep end of a conversation on Amy's dock at the VIP event for the Focus Retreat. And we started talking about moving and how stressful that was to move your family, pick up and start over and like start a new business. I have chills just thinking about it. And I was so in that season, having just moved into a new house, and it was very stressful. And then the Maui fires happened, and being from Maui, like that was, I felt like that old life was affected. My old house was affected. I'm in a new house. And that's kind of what I was desperate to talk about. And I feel like God's like, here, you should talk to Ginger. She also just moved. She's also just starting over. And by the way, she also is interested in flipping houses. And I was like, get out of town. You are the person that I need to be talking to right now. And I was so grateful. And it was just confirmation of like, that is where I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be talking to. So I do think it requires a certain openness to that and wanting to have real conversations with real people and be genuine and vulnerable. And the retreat had created this space where other women needed that too. And I'm not 100% sure all of us knew we needed that when we went into the retreat, you know, but it ended up being a space where we could stay instead of, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? Or what do you do? Or what does your husband do? We're like, I just moved. And I need to like talk about this, even though I'm hosting an event. And it was such a good, powerful conversation. We shared so many practical tips, but then got to know each other immediately. And I could have just like hugged her, like met her, and like in the first 10 minutes, be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. We need more of that. We need more of that.
And it makes you feel like then you do care more about their livelihood, right? So, Amy, when you are going into situations like this, because I know you think this way, whether, and you have four children, so you're meeting all sorts of like kids with parents and you have your business. Give us some examples, because I know as a confident coach, it takes some level of confidence to ask somebody personal questions. And I think hey, what do you do? Like, what do you do? That's not that, you don't need a lot of confidence for that. Personally, I'm just saying, I don't think that is. But to say, ask a question that will really have somebody open up is more difficult. And it does take a level of confidence in yourself to do that. So do you have some advice for that?
Well, what's interesting about that when you're saying that is normally, and I agree with Lori about there is a level of discernment. You can typically, I always pride myself on saying women can read women in general. You kind of know when someone's just like filling space, they're just a little awkward in asking because they don't know what else to ask, or if they're kind of like, are you worth my time? And so, really, what typically happens when you ask a question as bold, in my opinion, as what do you do? That to me immediately displays a level of insecurity in the woman asking, rather than confidence, because it's kind of like, how, you know, where are we here? Are we equal? So I think there's two parts to it for me when you're showing up, and I think that this was the beautiful surprise at the event. Not that we had any certain expectations of the women coming, but just how it all naturally played out was women came in for the right reason. and they were willing to be vulnerable. And I think the second part of that is there was also, they also came in ready to learn and listen from other women. And so, and I think when we display that, when we kind of come across as equals, there's a like, no trust factor that is immediately established. And I think, Lori Beth, that's what you experienced with Ginger. You know, there was no putting on airs. And what you did, Jennifer, which I thought was a beautiful job, because I wouldn't typically have done this, is that you created thoughtful icebreaker questions before anybody even showed up. So we had talked about what questions, you know, it wasn't just a random thing to kind of provoke a thought beyond, you know, what are our qualifications? And so I think that really helped. People went very deep, very fast, because I think they felt safe. They didn't feel like they were in competition. And there is something to be said for that. And I think that's where confidence builds. When you feel like you can trust your environment and be honest about your situation and share with complete strangers, that's a huge level of confidence in just the community in general.
It 100% is. I think too, if somebody's going to open up, so when we were facilitating the icebreakers, we have to, as the person that wants the information, be making sure that we're a really active listener. Because if we ask a deep question, whether this be at a conference, a retreat, your family Thanksgiving dinner with somebody brings a guest, if you ask the question and you're looking over here or checking your phone, I don't want to go deep with you. So really don't ask me the question if you're not ready to be a good listener. I think that's an important part of this. And I think with the icebreakers, what we were trying to do is really show that we're all at the same level, right? Even though we're there as the speakers, as the hosts, we are wanting to engage at the same level with the women. And I think that's really cool, because like we mentioned before, that you don't always get the opportunity at a retreat to talk to the speakers. And the bottom line is, we're all the same, right? We're all the same. Mm-hmm. We might have knowledge that we're speaking about or be an expert in a certain field, but in general, we're women, we're moms, we're wives. We mm-hmm. want to connect. I think what is huge about this conversation, girls, is that I feel like our society is really thirsty for this stuff, because we are so stuck on the screen, on social media. And so when I do get face-to-face with another woman, I don't want to have a surface conversation. I'm actually extremely bored with surface conversations. And it's interesting to me, because I know, Amy, you and I have talked about this. My daughter, who's 22, we've talked about this, and she's 22. She's like, it's so boring if you have a surface conversation. And it's because, guess what? You could do surface on your phone by yourself. You don't need another person. So it's like, when we are finally face-to-face, I am thirsty for that. I want to have a real connection, or I want to move on and have a real connection with somebody else. Have you guys noticed that? I mean, do you think it's worse because of so much screen time and less in person?
I mean, I totally think it's worse, but I do think too, that there's something deeper that naturally happens when, I mean, I'm more interested in what, how these women are doing what they're doing, right? I'm more interested in how they got to the point in their career than their career themselves. You know what I mean? Or the career itself. I want to know what led you here. Like, I want to know all of the backstory. To me, that's the interest. That's the makeup of this person, right? Because we all have such a journey, like depending on what we're doing, we started here and we're way over here. And how did you get there? Like you're talking about, Lori Beth, when you connected with Ginger, there were so many things, right, that just connected, but you would have not known that if you hadn't had that, been an active listener, like Jennifer was saying, and just been vulnerable, both of you being vulnerable to learn that information about each other. I mean, and then that's when everything starts, kind of the layers start coming off, and we can really connect with people on at their core is learning that. But yeah, I am much more interested in getting rid of the screen time. Like you said, I can learn that just from getting on Instagram right now. I could, you know, about 20 people's profiles, but how did you get there? What, you know, what was your childhood like? Like, I'm more interested in that kind of stuff than anything else.
So, mm-hmm. Larva, give us a couple of examples that when you are in a situation where you're meeting new women for the first time, which you've moved from Maui to
Idaho.
The opposite of Maui, right? I think is Idaho. It's night and day. It's literally the opposite. So you're it's so funny because we always laugh at you about you went from like warm, sunny, beautiful, and now you're in the tundra with Amy and
it's literally snowing right now.
Jennifer and I are trying to get to warm, sunny.
But. Yes, yeah. And you left warm and you came to the tundra. We don't understand, but anyways, no, we do. So you have met a lot of new people. You've rebuilt your life. Give us two questions that you like to use a lot when you meet someone to go a little deeper with her that has nothing to do with what she does for a living.
You know what? Instead of asking questions, I go first. I go first and I share a detail about my life, maybe that people didn't know. And so instead of a question, I just go first to like set the stage for what the expectation is. I don't have a expectation of the situation, like, but just letting people know, like, hey, I'm willing to go deep if you're willing to go deep. I don't share super personal information that would threaten the privacy of like my husband and I's relationship or my family or anything like that. But I do just share, like, I usually start with what's around us, like how pretty an area is or like how it surprised me. Like I cannot get over how much I love the pine trees around here and that evergreen nature, because I think it actually makes it easier to like be from Maui after 20 years. You know, to see this like kind of evergreen, because it's evergreen there, but in a totally different tropical way. And here, the green trees staying green all the time really just fill me up. And then they're like, oh, you lived on Maui? And I'm like, yeah, I did. So then that becomes like and that's not even a made up thing, you know, or it's not superficial or something I really thought out of, like, how can I strategically bring in where I'm from? And instead, it's just like, I just start with the beauty around me, because usually I'm really struck by something that's around me or the food, you know, if we're eating, like I went to some mom's night out to like meet some of the moms and whatnot. And I just love talking about the food and how much I love cooking and how much I love learning sourdough and all these different things. Or like, then we homeschool and then the questions just start flowing. But I usually go first. And it's interesting because I had a few friends here say, I just love how you just say whatever's on your mind. And I said, oh, I thought that's what we were all doing. Like, I didn't know that these women were holding back. And it's in me going first and volunteering information that sets the stage for, we don't just have to say, what's your name? Where are you from? What does your husband do? How many kids do you have? That information will come out. But if I start just the conversation with noticing something that's around me that I like or enjoy or that strikes me, that's like a good opening line. Here in the wintertime, y'all will laugh. I usually say when I walk into a new space, even after almost 2 years, I still don't know what to do with my shoes and my coat. Like, because I'm just sitting there in that awkward sort of moment. And I was like, on Maui, we never had to deal with this. So I'm still like, I'm sorry, can you tell me where I need to put my coat? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's just like that. So I go first and I just usually am vulnerable and volunteer first. And when that happens, usually they're like, oh, thank heavens, you know, they start that natural curiosity, and curiosity can be a healthy expression of love and interest. So if they're curious about you and you're curious back, it builds very quickly. And before you know it, y'all were standing around the pool. And the next thing you know, you're like floating in the deep end with your new friend. And so there's just such good opportunity with going first and not being stale when you show up. And also, breaking out of social norms too, I think is really important, because when people hear hanging out with like-minded women, they assume it's an echo chamber, right? But Ginger and I have a lot in common, and we don't have a lot in common. All the three of us have a lot in common, and our interests and our areas of, you know, expertise are totally different. And so we are breaking through that stigma of like-minded equals echo chamber. And I think if you can just let go of that too, and do look for those points where you are like-minded with another person, it really, really, really helps. You're not going to align 100%, and that's not what you're going for. But if you can let go of this the stigma, the social stigma, and just be yourself and look for those like-minded points, you're going to have a better relationship and a better understanding of one another automatically. So I would go into it, be vulnerable, and then let that whole, like, you have to look for people who are different than you, or if you find someone who's the same, it's an echo chamber. That's just not true. And we're a living example of that.
Yeah, I think that what happens is when you go into it, you're trying to look for things you have similar interests in, instead of like, hey, I need to talk about what I do for a living in order to be like valuable to you and to make me feel like you're going to want to be my friend based on what I do. And that's not how friendships are made. Friendships are made on common interests or common values. So Amy, what's some of like your favorite go-tos when you're meeting people and you want to take it to a deeper level?
I think for me, typically it's more of an awareness. So like, I might just like Lori Beth, there's certain things you naturally go to. I naturally will remark on maybe like when we met Julie Salters, she had riding boots on. Well, that was a trigger for me because my daughters ride horses. So I'm like, oh, I love your riding boots. And then it just kind of just naturally sparks this organic conversation. So I try to pay really close attention to the details before, like you said, Lori Beth, before any words are even exchanged, just kind of lock into something that I find intriguing or a compliment or something that's natural, not a forced anything, like you said, but just completely natural. And I think from there, that just kind of just proceeds into just a regular conversation. And the next thing you know, I find out that she's, you know, got a horse farm and all these other things. And then it just goes to, I want to say trails, but I feel like that's just, you know, spinning off of horse stuff. But I was going to say trails into, you know, all the other things that she has going on in her life. That's just one part of her life. And I think that's the other thing is when we are able to ask the right questions or engage in a way that brings those things out, then we also remember that what people do, that's just like this, you know, this fraction of who they are. And I love getting to know the whole person. And so I think it, so for me, it's always just really kind of being aware, present to what they're saying. Maybe if I overhear something that they've said to somebody else, or just, what they're doing as far as like what they maybe have on or what I notice that they're drawn to. Maybe it's a food, you know, I mean, I'm a huge foodie. So if somebody's grabbing a brownie, you're already in my favor. Let me just say that. So it's just that kind of stuff. I try to pay attention to the surroundings that we're in together and commenting naturally from there.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting too, because I'll take this even a step further. And yesterday, so I got called by somebody that was doing, you know how they do those neighborhood magazines that they look for like ads and magazines. And this girl called me and she was like, hey, you know, left me this message. And I called her back. I was like, yeah, I'm not interested. I've done this before. It's not really my thing. Blah, blah, blah. The way she handled it was so good. She's like, well, I'd still love to grab coffee, like just to get to know you and what you do with your businesses and stuff like that. So yesterday I met her for coffee after I saw a client, and the whole conversation, I mean, I was very blunt from the get-go. Like, yeah, I don't want to advertise in a magazine right now. It's just not where I'm headed. And she still wanted to meet me. And we ended up having this 30-minute conversation about each other. Like we got, you know, into kids and spouses and where we used to live and how we got to where we are today. And it was just really cute conversation. And what happens after that? It makes me think about her more. Like, so instead of her sitting there trying to sell me, she talked to me about who she was. So I leave with thinking, I really like this girl. I wonder who else I know that might want to advertise in her magazine. Or she said, you know, I'm going to keep you at the forefront for speaking engagements because I'm hosting different events and I know other business owners hosting events. And it's like, we might not do business right now and there wasn't a transaction that occurred, but we're going to stick into each other's heads more based on the conversation we had, because now I know, oh, I thought that was so sweet that she built a little apartment in her backyard for her mom. Like that was really cool. Like that was the thing that stuck out to me. Like her mom lives in an apartment behind her house instead of in her house because her husband wanted to still be able to walk around in his underwear, but didn't want his mother-in-law living in the house.
Sure.
But yet I thought, how sweet of you to put your mom in an apartment in your backyard. Like, this tells me a lot about who she is. Like, yeah, a lot. So because of that, I will want to do business with her in the future. I will want to collaborate with her. But if the conversation had ended, hey, do you want to buy my magazine? Ads, no, I really don't. Boom. That's what usually happens. And mm-hmm. so how many good, cool interactions are we missing all the time? Because we're just so worried about the transaction, which, you know, the three of us did an episode probably about a month or so ago on transactional versus transformational friendships. I got so much good feedback on that episode. So if you're interested in that, go back and listen. But I think this is the point of it, is that we really need to get to know the person. When we're talking about business, we need to know the person, because how will we know we want to do business with this person, right? How many times have you done a collab or a business partnership with somebody only to realize they don't have integrity later on? We should have known that, right? We're like, then you beat yourself up. Like, why didn't I see this person is who they are? Because we were just worried about getting that quick transaction or making a deal, making some money. So I think that this, you know, conversation is really important for that reason. I also think that it is really cool when you can go into a situation with a bunch of strangers, because they don't know anything about you, right? So you don't have these preconceived notions where, oh, this person's husband makes a lot of money. Okay, this person just got separated. Oh, this person's kid has been in trouble at school. You don't have any of that. So you're going in with a clean slate. And I think that's the perfect time to practice something like this. I really do. You can go in, you can be open and vulnerable. You can look for other people that you find something, a common thread, and you can practice this, because it doesn't come easy for everybody, right? The three of us are speakers. We're paid to speak. But a lot of people, especially if they come into a situation like that and they're introverted or they just are more shy, then it's difficult. So I think it's practice makes perfect in this situation. Really, the more you can practice it, and even if you feel uncomfortable, try to practice it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Show up as your whole self too, you know, and recognize that all the other people that you're talking with are also whole people. They've got business, family, personal, marriage, friendships, like history, future, all of this. We're not just our business. We're not, you know, you hear a lot of people say in my line of work, I'm more than just a mom. Yes. Yes. That is a given. That should be the given, that we are just, it's understood that everyone, whether in business or in our personal life, they are more than just one thing. And they're more than just that relationship that we have right there in that moment. And just knowing that and acting from that space, loving other people well from that space, and acknowledging that they are a whole person with a lot going on right now. All of us have that. It's just, it's so transformational, really.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, and I think we want to pay attention to just like approaching other women in these settings, how we would want to be approached. You know, I mean, we don't want to be sold something when we're trying to just, you know, gather and connect and learn about each other. That's not the time. You know what I mean? Sometimes there is a time and place to make something a transaction, maybe later on after you've formed a connection, like you said, Jennifer, too, when you realize that the goals, the values, integrity all align, you know, that's really important. But if you're jumping the gun there, I mean, I wouldn't want to be approached like that. And I don't think most women do. I think that's the insecurity when someone's showing up that way. And I do think even if a woman approaches us in that way initially, is to remember that, okay, there's an insecurity here. She feels like she needs to prove something. Let me dismantle that by showing her she doesn't need to prove anything to me. I'm more interested in who she is. And so I think that we can also help women out that are coming to the table, maybe that are feeling insecure in these situations, that haven't had the practice or experience, and we can remove that for them. So I think that's kind of a nice thing to add as well.
I love it. Well, this has been another fun conversation. So I really appreciate you both. You know, I love you both so much. And if you were listening to the show, make sure that you go to thefocusretreat.com. If this is something that you are interested in, we are all working toward making the next retreat. Yesterday, last year was our first year. This is our second annual, and we are so excited for the things we have in store. So we would love to meet you face-to-face if you're listening and you just feel like you need to get around, you know, women that are going to accept you for where you are in life and celebrate that. And that's what we're all about with the Focus Retreat. So thanks, Lori Beth. Thanks,
Amy. Thank you. Thanks,
Amy. Thank you.
All right. And thanks to everyone listening. We'll see you again next week.